This being the last meeting of the year, as I mentioned before the break, thought it would be a good time to have some reflection of the past, see where we're at now, and facing future, at least with the vision of what we want to bring into the future. As I said, I'll just mention a few words about this retreat that I just did, this self-retreat. I got to spend a couple of weeks at Spirit Rock, but in my own space there. Want to put in a plug for intensive practice and just taking some time to reconnect with what's true inside and renew and to remember and to be inspired have a vision of what you want to create in your life, what really matters. So in a way, the retreat affords that opportunity, whatever time of year, but particularly going into this solstice time. When you go on a retreat, you naturally get in touch with everything in there that perhaps you haven't attended as consciously. It all comes up. Oh yeah, all of these lessons or issues or things that you're sorting out on conscious or unconscious levels becomes available to the conscious, and seeing what you have learned or what you are learning in your life, as well as what really matters. You get in touch with a kind of purity of heart or innocence that that helps you stay connected to what's important. And just before I went on this retreat, the day before I went into retreat, I was at a memorial service for a very inspiring person named Francis Fawn, who has inspired many people. She's was one of the leading voices in transpersonal psychology. She wrote a book. She wrote many books, but wrote a book, Awakening Intuition, that was hugely impactful for many people. A lot of stuff around Course in Miracles. And in many different traditions, she was, I think, the president of the American Humanistic Psychology Association. And it was like having a darshan. There were all these amazing people that she knew. She was married to Roger Walsh, who's also a dear friend and another very inspiring voice. It was so moving that actually next week's talk will be about her guiding principles for life. And I'm going to show a film, a video as part of the evening of that was shown that at the memorial service. But it was like being in this darshan of wisdom and love and hearing her words, that going into the retreat, it's really great when you can go into retreat inspired in some way. And so for me, the retreat was had a lot about heart qualities. It really got me in touch with my heart, forgiveness and gratitude and love and humility, and became actually a devotional retreat. A couple of lines just to give you a sense of who she was, that I saw this film again, and so I was reminded, show up, this is her, one of her instructions, show up, pay attention, tell the truth, and don't be attached to results, and have a good time. That's pretty good instruction for your life. And she read this quote from Wu Men. That's a great principle for her also. When the mind is not clouded by unnecessary things, this is the best season of your life. So, in that retreat, and what we can do now is, you see the habits of your mind more clearly when you have a little bit of space. And hopefully you see them with great compassion instead of reaction and getting caught in them and judging yourself for having them. And the practice of reflection and seeing what you've learned is very much a part of the Buddhist teachings. And I wanted to say a little bit about reflecting, about learning along the way as we are about to do that together. You know, sometimes people think of the basic teaching is, okay, be present right now. That's the whole idea. Be here for your experience, and be here now is a really good instruction. But that's not all of the path. That's not all that the Buddha taught. He said being present, being mindful, is the most direct and powerful way to wake up. But in that waking up, there is a place for reflection of what's happened, that we learn from the past, we learn from, hopefully, we learn from our mistakes, we learn from our successes. He advised to keep on looking and seeing, has this led to suffering or not? Is this leading to happiness or not? Not just to know, okay, I'm drinking a cup of tea or feeling my breath, but what am I doing in my life, and what habits am I forming? Because we're all just creatures of habit. And so to keep on exploring and seeing what habits do I get caught in, and how can I be free and learn much healthier habits? That's moving from unwholesome mind states to wholesome mind states. And it's all about practice. That's why practice is such a used, a central word, because we're learning all the time. And particularly if you've had a very profound awakening experience, it's right there in the discourses where he says, okay, if you've been touched by something very profound, don't just say, okay, well, that was then, and now let's be in this moment. He says, reflect and see what just happened there. Actually, he suggests this for the deepest kind of awakening experience, where at times you're not even around, but when you come back, he says, just check out what just happened there and how has it impacted me. It's called knowledge of vision, reviewing knowledge and vision. And as one of my main inspirations, Julia Butterfly Hill says, as long as you're learning, there are no mistakes. So there's nothing wasted in your development. As long as you keep on waking up and using whatever is here to grow in understanding and love. and in the discourse that the Buddha gives to his son, Rahula, he says, when you've done something that's been off, then again, rather than feeling guilt, have what's called wise remorse and see, okay, what can I have learned that will set me in a new direction? And he says, make that commitment to go in a new direction by not making that having that mistake be in vain. So change is possible, and from modern neuroscience, we know that change is possible. We're continually reshaping our brains. Just a couple of words about learning from the past. You know, when you start to pay attention, as perhaps you've seen, there's a tricky aspect to waking up, and that is you start to notice all the ways that you were unconscious. You can't pretend anymore. That's both the bad news and the good news. The bad news is that, oh, you can't keep on fooling yourself and say, oh, well, I just didn't know any better. Or, you know, ignorance is bliss. Ignorance is dukkha, actually. Ignorance is suffering. But on a karmic level, this is a very useful thing to understand. On a karmic level, it's better to do something unskillful, knowing that it's unskillful, than not realizing it. The first time I heard that, I said, wait, that's not fair. You know? But the way karma works, it's much better to feel the pain of doing something unskillful, because that starts to wake you up, rather than just being blissfully ignorant and keeping on repeating mistakes that have their karmic effect, whether you realize it or not. Internally, when you're out of alignment with higher values or causing suffering to others, and it comes back to you. So there's nothing wasted. And when you see yourself do something stupid, rather than saying, what a jerk I am, I'll never be a spiritual being or whatever you have in your mind, it's, oh, I see. Ouch, that really hurt. And you are inspired to do it differently in the future. And also learning from the past on a karmic level, as I'm saying, when you do something really skillful, really good, just a random act of kindness, it's really beneficial to pay attention and see, oh, how good that felt. Oh, that really, you know, just happened to come through you spontaneously. It really feels good. And the more you let it register and learn from that, the more you're watering those seeds. So you want to do it, not just because you want to be a good spiritual guy, but it just brings well-being. So you're learning from the past, whether it's unpleasant or pleasant, but to reflect and learn from the past. So, given that as a context, just looking back on this year, here we are at the end of the year, 2 days from the turn of the calendar year. looking back on your year, what lessons has life given you this year? How have you grown? Perhaps you've had some really beautiful blessings in your life, or ways that you've surprised yourself with your goodness or delighted in it. Or maybe you've had some really big challenges, or made some blunders and mistakes. How have you grown? I just invite you, as I, rather than filling the space with words, to just take a moment and go inside. And just reflect on, go through the calendar in your mind, through all the months and all the events. Probably a few stand out. Maybe beautiful ones, blessings, or maybe challenges. How have they impacted you? What have you learned through them? How have you grown? What has life given you this year to wake up? That stretched you a bit and opened your heart, perhaps, or deepened your compassion. Good to reflect on it for a few moments consciously, so it doesn't just go down, go up to the Akash into, you know, not and out of your consciousness. Okay. Okay. So now, more than just my words, I invite you, if you feel like it, to either turn to one or two people near you, and you don't have to get into all the gory details or all the specifics, but just what you have learned this period, and to both witness another or others, and be witnessed. That anchors it a bit, and we'll do something with this reflection in a little while. And if you prefer not to have an interaction, then you might just, if you have something to write with, I actually do have stuff to, there's paper and pencils or writing implements that we'll be using later. If you want to write, you're welcome to do that as an alternative, or just sit quietly. But just for the next 5 minutes or so, why don't you turn to a couple of people, if you feel like it, and share. Okay, so this becomes more relevant to you. Okay, just another minute or two. How are you doing over there? How many? How are we doing? Is it you guys doing okay? Have you gotten? Okay. So did everybody get a chance to go? Yeah, it's good. Great. Okay. Okay. So you can, if you like, you can thank your partner and come on back. You'll have a chance to meet again in a few moments. So, and in that looking, oh, is it on again now? In that looking, looking back, just something that I'd like you to reflect on for a moment now, and we'll include it in our little ceremony in a bit. Whatever you've learned, what would you like to let go of? What doesn't serve you from your habits, from your patterns of thought? Just so you keep on facing in the right direction, looking back, what can we let go of? And when I say that, I'm not suggesting you press some magic eject button and then it's gone, but just more and more to purify so that those habits don't have their power over you. Just reflect for a moment. What would really serve your practice as you more and more bring some consciousness to letting go? And just envision how that would affect your well-being and your happiness. Okay. So that's looking through the rear car. I have an image of I grew up in New York City, and sometimes it would be fun to be in the last car of the train and just see everything behind you, you know. Hi. And sometimes it would be fun to go to the first car of the train, you know. And it's that way in the New York City IRT or in life. So now, just for a moment, here we are in this present moment, which is a very good place to be. The only place to be, but it's really good to know that you're here in it. And where are you now in your life? A couple of weeks ago, I gave a talk. Kate was here with me, and we talked about looking at your life through a Dharma lens. And as you're reflecting on where you are now, what lessons are you learning currently, right now? Life is always giving us lessons. There's a line I love from, it's probably my favorite Beatles line of all, and the Beatles are as much of my lineage as the Buddha. From All You Need Is Love, John Lennon says, "There's nowhere you can be that wasn't where you're meant to be. It's easy. All you need is love." And that is saying, okay, every moment I can use to wake up. So this is what life is giving me now. How can I use this now? Just have a perspective of looking at your life through that lens. This is what's happening right now. And as you see where you're at now and what you're learning, we can, in the interest of time, turn ahead. Time, which is just a concept anyway, we'll just spend a little time in the present and now face in the direction of what's ahead. Here we are. Of course, it's just a concept. December 31st, January 1st. However, it's a very powerful concept, especially since the whole world, all of humanity, is holding that same concept. So, although it's just an artificial, arbitrary demarcation, there's a collective energy of facing in towards the new, towards a new beginning, towards new possibilities, towards a fresh start. So looking into this coming year, as Yogi Berra says, if you don't know where you're going, you might end up someplace else. Think about that. So it's good to know where you're going. And the Buddha said this is a very good thing to get clear on your intention, which is different than goal, although a goal can be inspiring. You're just inclining the mind and facing in the right direction and getting clear on what inspires and moves you. What will make you come alive? Now that beautiful Howard Thurman quote, don't ask what the world needs, ask what makes you come alive and go do it, because the world needs people who are alive, who've come alive. So with that in mind, just reflect on this coming year. Given where you are now, what do you want to work on? How do you want to deepen and grow? First within yourself. We're all given beautiful qualities. Which ones do you want to nourish? Deepen your potential or actualize your potential. What's your vision for yourself, for your spiritual life? And in that, how can that be an offering to the world? How can you contribute to others and to the world through whatever it is that you are developing? If you were to name a quality or two that really matters for you, that's really up for you, just seeing what it would be like to deepen in, cultivate those qualities. What's your vision for this year, for yourself? Okay. Okay, so now, once again, briefly, again, turn to the people that you were just with, and if it feels like there's something that's come up that you want to just put succinctly, we just have a little time to do this, just share what you want to work or develop, and be witnessed. Witness and be witnessed. You got somebody cheering you on, rooting for you, so don't miss the opportunity. So go ahead, just for the next few minutes. You just start finishing up. Do you need more time? Is it okay? Is it okay? You got it. Okay. You have enough time? Is that okay? Okay, so now what I'd like you to do, having reflected on that, is we can go into this little ritual, which I've done before, and it seems to work well. We'll give out paper for everyone, and when you get it, fold it in half, and on one side, write, if you feel like it, write what you would like to let go of. And on the other side, write your vision for what you want to bring forth in this coming year. And then after you've done that, we'll collectively as a group do this little ritual where I'll invite you to tear the sheet in half. You keep your intention. Don't throw away your intention. You might hold it on, put it in your wallet or someplace or your nightstand or whatever, because the more you have it in your consciousness, the more you can call it forth. And what you want to let go of, you'll let go of. And come up here and put your paper in this bowl, my family salad bowl. And in the next couple of days, over New Year's, I'll pick hopefully a clean air day and have a good log or an environmental log and just burn them all together in my fireplace and sit and wish everyone their wish, along with Jane and Adam, my son. Okay, so let's see if we can maybe have these handed out. Great. And here's writing implements. Somebody, thanks a lot, Eunice. And if you have something to write with, then just go ahead and do that for the next few minutes. If you need something to write with or paper, raise your hand. Or something to write with. Paper? What is that?
I need a paper.
Oh, you need some paper. Here. There's one. Yeah. Oh, yeah, lots. Anyone need paper or? Okay. Oh, wait. Oh, we're going to do it. Oh, sorry. Here, get your. We're going to do it as a ritual to Sumetta. Let's see who put in these two. Okay. All right. And this is what we'll do. We might as well just do it. When you're ready, you can... I'm going to be playing the Chant of Metta, a beautiful piece sung by Imi Ui, the Chant of Metta, with the English translation. So when you're ready, you can just come up and put it in the bowl in a kind of ritual way. Really be present for it. Okay? So. And we can come through here and then go off to the side.
May I be free from empty ending.
from physical suffering. May I take care of myself happily. May my parents, teachers, relatives, and friends, fellow Dharma Farers, may they be free from enmity and danger. May they be free from mental suffering. May they be free from physical suffering. May they take care of themselves.
There's a line. Happily. Just keep going.
May all yogis in this compound be free from enmity and danger. Be free from mental suffering. Be free from physical suffering. May they take care of themselves happily. May all monks in this compound, novice monks, laymen and laywomen disciples, may they be free from enmity and danger. May they be free from mental suffering. May they be free from physical suffering. May they take care of themselves happily. May our donors of the four supports, clothing, food, medicine and lodging, be free from enmity and danger. Be free from mental suffering. Be free from physical suffering. May they take care of themselves happily. May our guardian devas in this monastery, in this dwelling, in this compound, may the guardian devas be free from enmity and danger, be free from mental suffering, be free from physical suffering. May they take care of themselves happily. May all beings, all breathing things, all creatures, all individuals, all personalities, may all females, all males, all noble ones, all worldlings, all deities, all humans, all those in the four woeful planes, may they be free from enmity and danger. May they be free from mental suffering. May they be free from physical suffering. May they take care of themselves happily. May all beings be free from suffering. May whatever they have gained not be lost. Beings are owners of their karma. In the eastern direction, in the western direction, in the northern direction, in the southern direction.
We'll just sit for a moment together. May it be so. and just to end. And let's just take a moment to reflect on all of beings in this world, those who are in suffering, those who cause suffering through their ignorance, those who are happy and have true well-being, those who cause happiness and well-being for others. Just extending inner peace, freedom from fear, and true liberation for all beings everywhere. And may our coming here together, supporting each other, and any good that comes from our gathering be shared for the benefit of all. May it be a truly happy and blessed, rich, deepening, liberating new year for you and for everyone in your life. Happy New Year. Mm-hmm. See you next year.